This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Ah, yes, good afternoon, 5 minutes past one. We are getting meat and cheese on today. Not, there may not just be cheese, but Texas and Switzerland meet in a very strange relationship right here in the studio. We're talking barbecue and fondue. The link between the two is they both end in UE. Let's see if we can do something with that. Stay with me until 2 o'clock. Good afternoon, 6 minutes past two here on Joy 94.9, a glorious 33.8 degrees outside, heading for top of 36. I imagine there's going to be a lot of people running around in small white shorts and things this evening as the white party, or the white night, sorry, takes over Melbourne and everything else that is on tonight. Lunar New Year in Chinatown, there's stuff going on everywhere, and of course we're leading into my very favourite time of the year, which is the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival. I have one event to talk about that's Melbourne Food and Wine Festival related today. The other I have to talk about because it combines all of my loves, which is pretty much cooking meat and having a drink with cooking meat. My first guest is from the Duke of Wellington Hotel, which is on the corner of Russell and Flinders Street right here in the city. Fraser, welcome.
Good afternoon.
I'll tell them it's Fraser Stark. He is the executive chef?
Head chef.
Head chef. What's the difference?
I'd say an executive's more desk-based, if I'm honest.
Right, so administration-based is the executive chef.
Yeah, certainly more administratively, yeah. I think the head chef's actually cooking more, yeah.
And then the chef de cuisine, where does he sit in the brigade? Or is it the same thing?
I'd probably say executive and a chef de cuisine would probably have a similar role.
Very good. And somebody who doesn't have a sort of structure in her life apart from cooking and grilling meat. You know her as Burger Mary. Are we going to call you Burger Mary for the entire show, or can I use your real name?
Please.
Her name is Jess Prowles, and she also joins me in the studio wearing white. Well done.
Well, you know, got to be in it to win it.
Yes. Something. Are you taking part in White Night? Are you going out to grill something on the street just to get involved?
I'll be participating in spirit from home because I'm afraid of crushing public transport.
I'm just afraid of the millions of people that are going to be in the city, which is probably going to have an impact on you guys down at the Duke tonight. You probably have people in there wanting a drink all night.
Yeah, so far, quiet lunch so far, but I expect it to be pretty busy this evening, and I imagine it'll go on for quite a while.
I imagine since the Duke has done its renovations and sort of reopened a couple of years ago, and then you've opened the Duchess up on the top floor recently, that footy season is a good time for you. I'm going to look at your venue manager over there, who's furiously nodding because you've only been there for a little while, Fraser.
Yeah, I've just transferred from a venue over in South Melbourne to the CBD in the last 4 or 5 weeks. But I'm perfectly aware of how busy AFL can get, regardless where you are.
Well, you're across the road, really, almost across the road from the G. Yeah. I imagine it gets very busy.
Yep.
Are you a footy fan, Jess?
American footy. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Patriots or not?
Saints. New Orleans Saints.
Ah, of course.
I was actually hoping anyone except the Patriots would win this year, so shame on me.
So you won't like me because I was on the Patriots. Well, their quarterback's good looking. You know, that's how I judge these things.
Okay, I'll pay that.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Tom Brady. Of course, that big game was on only a few weeks ago, Super Bowl, which has the best advertising of any sporting coat in the world ever.
I'm bummed that we don't get the ads here.
I know.
We have to sit there like losers on YouTube after the fact and scroll through
and watch ads that did appear on American TV, because it's ridiculous advertising as well.
Yeah, oh, it's colossal. So it's around 3 million, I think, a slot at the moment. Yes.
So we won't be seeing the Duke doing any advertising on there at any stage, I don't think.
No, I suspect not.
What brought you to the Duke? First of all, you're not from Australia, Fraser. What brought you to Australia?
I came over to Australia a couple of years ago. My brother had been over here a few years prior, and I think I kind of exhausted my opportunities in Edinburgh for what was available to me at the time as a chef. So I looked at a change.
And you're also chasing a woman?
Yeah, I was at the time chasing a woman,
Happens all the time. I can't tell you the amount of times I've sat in this studio and had discussions with chefs. What brought you to Australia? Yeah, it was a woman.
Yeah, it was a woman. Part of it. I mean, obviously, I decided I needed a change as well, and that seemed a fairly safe bet to sort of have that alongside the career change. But the career's worked out quite well, certainly.
So you came from Aberdeen in Scotland?
I actually came from Edinburgh, but I'd spent time in Aberdeen prior to that. So I'd sort of come from the Scottish borders up to Aberdeen and then back down to Edinburgh and then from Edinburgh overseas.
Just couldn't you listen to him talk all day?
It's quite, what's the word I'm looking
beautiful.
For?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Lilting. Mellifluous.
Say, mellifluous. Well, yeah, it's enchanting.
It is. Yeah. It's enchanting. Mm. And you'd get to deal with a lot of accents in your work as well.
I do.
Because you spend a lot of time in the south of the United States.
I do. I get to deal with the drawl.
Which is quite lovely on its own.
It is. It's again, very poetic to sort of listen to. So I spend a lot of time in Texas every year and also make at least one trip to New Orleans every year too.
Please tell me you go, and every time you go, you eat andouille sausage.
Of course.
Yes.
So there's a town just outside of, you know, when you drive, because you drive from Austin to New Orleans, because it's feasible. And there's a town called Lafayette in the middle of Cajun country.
Great.
And just outside of Lafayette is a tiny town called Scott. Mm. And Scott is famous because it has all of these boudin shops.
Yes.
So you buy boudin, which is the Cajun rice sausage, and andouille, which is the smoked sausage, and cracklins, which are pretty much entire bits of pork skin and fat and flesh.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
But it actually has the meat on there too, and they're triple fried in pork lard, and they're amazing.
Yum. Yep. Are you a big meat fan, Fraser?
Oh, I suppose so. Yeah, I think you've kind of got to be interested in certain meats if you're working as a chef, I think.
Because Jess has got a bit of a thing for meat.
I
think the tagline is actually hardcore carnivore.
Yeah, you are hardcore carnivore. And you're doing the carnivore as well again in Melbourne in April. And we're going to talk about that very shortly. Mm-hmm. That's why I've cajoled you into this studio. So we are going to talk meat and we're going to talk cheese. Fraser is doing a series of, they've tagged the best fondue party ever. And as somebody who remembers the original fondue parties from the mid to late 70s, I can tell you that there is no party like a fondue party. So we're going to talk fondue and we're going to talk meat as we continue for the next 40-something minutes right here on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Katrina Hyam and you're listening to Cravings with Pete Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9. It is almost 14 minutes past one. Glorious Melbourne day. Are you a fan of the weather here, Fraser?
It's certainly a stark contrast to what's back home.
I'm pretty sure it's a pretty stark contrast.
Took a couple of years to acclimatise to it, but I'm sort of getting used to it now.
Can you go out now without sunscreen on yet?
Yeah, well, I've actually
gone from pale blue to white.
I tan reasonably well, so I've never actually had to wear sunscreen over here, and somehow I've never managed to burn, but it's just the heat gets me.
It is uncanny for a wee Scot.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Fraser Stark, that's the voice you can hear. He's from the Duke of Wellington, right here in the middle of the city, doing a series of fondue parties for Melbourne Food and Wine Festival. The other person asking those questions is of course, Bergamiri. There's not much about meat that this young lady doesn't know, and we'll be talking very shortly about the Carnivore's Ball as well, because you're bringing a Texan pitmaster over.
Woo!
So we're going to talk about that. But Fraser, let's start with you. So you came chasing after a bit of skirt and landed in Australia, caught up with your brother. Sorry, I like to summarise things.
Oh, sorry.
Now actually work with your brother.
Yes, yeah, my brother's also at the Duke of Wellington, so my brother and I work there. We had worked briefly back in Scotland prior to that, but we work reasonably well.
Is it difficult working with a sibling? I've got 8 siblings.
I suppose it could be. I think, like I said to you earlier, we argue enough outside of work on the trivial matters that we probably get it all out of our system before we start working.
What do you fight about?
Well, we generally fight about his dreadful timekeping and his lack of organisation. I find that's also a topic to have some heated discussion over.
What does he pick on you about?
I suppose
fastidious and always early.
Yeah, possibly that. And just too organised. I don't know. No, I'm probably a bit ambitious, overly ambitious. Perhaps take somewhat elaborate ideas and run away with them.
Right.
Possibly. My cars, probably. I restore classic cars in my spare time, and I think he finds that a wasted exercise.
Right. Do you live together, or are you...
No. We live in Paran, but he lives about 500 metres down the road from us. So close, but not together.
You're close, but not too close.
Yeah. Plus one for Paran. It's a Paran party up in here today.
Yeah, not from me.
Well,
sorry, I'm on the other side of town.
It's still democracy, darling.
It is a democracy. Could you work with... Have you got any siblings?
I do. I have a younger brother. Probably not. Mm. We're completely opposite in nearly every way. There's a lot of love there, but he's like... obviously, everyone can't see me. I'm very short and have brown hair and brown eyes, and he's over 6 foot and was born with white blonde hair and blue eyes.
Well,
yes, both
hot.
Our parents are actually our parents. He is hot. He's gorgeous. But we're just completely opposite.
Ah, it's bizarre. So yeah, I have eight siblings. I'm one of 10 kids, and the thought of, I couldn't work with any of them. I love them dearly, but I couldn't work with them. I'd probably stab them.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't have thought I'd be able to work with my brother until I actually did, and then it seemed to work out quite well.
And look, there's a couple of guys that own Fitzrovia on Fitzroy Street in St Kilda, yep. Paul and Marco. They have been in a... They've worked together for now 2 decades. Mm-hmm. Wow. They're in business together. They live together. They've been in a partnership in every way for 20-odd years, and those guys are just so solid.
Are they twins?
No, no.
Because you know sometimes twins have that thing.
You know, Paul's a white skip Aussie, and Marco, these aren't siblings. These are like life partners.
Yeah.
So every part of their life is intricately involved with the others. It's quite interesting. They've got a thing. They leave work. There's a certain crack in the pavement, and once they get to that crack in the footpath, they don't talk about work anymore.
So I think they need to run a masterclass.
On how to work with people that you love. So why fondue? Was this your idea, or is this something that was conceived before your arrival?
This was conceived before my arrival. As much as I'd like to take credit for it, I have to give credit where credit's due, and that is to other people in the business. Yeah.
So how do you then come into a venue and take somebody else's thought process from October or November and make it your own?
Well, I suppose you have to do some research for a start. I think the fondue concept was quite unusual, and I think you basically need to sort of look at it from the ground up and decide, right, well, where are we going to start with this? What are we going to do? Is it going to be a social event, or is it going to be a food-based event? It's going to be
what
a combination.
What did you come up with out of those two questions?
I suppose it's a social-based event with food.
Because anybody that's been to a fondue party, and I'd like to know if anybody else has apart from me, 0427 JOY949. You can flick us a text message. You can email onair@joy.org.au. If you have the Joy app, you can just hit contact and send us a little message as well if you're out about on your phone listening in the car. Don't do that while you're driving, please. Anybody who remembers fondue parties from the 70s, they always were very, very social.
Yeah, I hear very, very social.
Yes, yeah. In so many ways.
Everyone's winking. You can't see it, but everyone's winking.
It's all like an episode of Are You Being Served in here all of a sudden.
Car keys and everything, yeah.
So are you just making cheese fondue, or is there a
I think
variety?
We're going to do a cheese fondue. We might possibly do two cheese fondues, depending on the demand for it. We might do different cheeses and different sort of mixtures for cured meats and vegetables. And we'll certainly do a dessert fondue with chocolate and obviously fruits and candies to go through that as well.
Have you been doing your research on the best cheese to make a real Swiss fondue?
We're kind of playing around with it actually, because I find it's quite difficult to get it to flow through the actual pumps and stuff like that correctly if you don't balance it out. So trial and error over this week, and hopefully it'll be ready for the end of the week.
Emmental.
Do they do a raclette sometimes?
Yeah, raclette.
Yeah, we have a raclette going on as well, actually.
And blue cheese in a fondue is just absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
There's a gorgonzola. Yeah, put that stuff in your fondue and dip your bread in it. You'll be a happy man. It's funny that I'm because I'm an old person. I see the 80s have come back and then gone. Even just with a little bit of what you're doing, I remember there was sort of you know, back in the late 70s and early 80s, we were all cooking hungies or laying hungies and cooking stuff in the ground. And all of this resurgence sort of strikes me as a bit everything old is new again.
A little bit. I think, I mean, I'm in my 30s now.
Yeah, so you're
for
still
me,
a young girl.
But I do sort of remember, you know, the rise of the Texas-style chain house in probably the early 90s-ish.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because that the whole clean eating and meat is evil thing came in. actually, clean eating's a new thing, but certainly the You know, that it was just not, certainly not healthy for you. You should limit your diet, go fish and chicken and stuff like that. And now we're back to understanding that you can have a little bit of everything. So get involved with the foods that you love, like fondue, like barbecue, but just, you know, be reasonable about it.
Indeed.
So hence the rise of comfort food again, I think.
Exactly. And look, we're eating like people ate hundreds of years ago, where we eat what's seasonal, or we should be, eat what's seasonal, what's around. We share plates. We don't sit around and say, well, that's mine, except if my partner's listening, he's going to get cross with this, but he doesn't care to share food very much. If he orders something that's really what he would like to eat.
So you could use a masterclass from Fitzroy over you guys?
No, not at all. No, we're good. But yes, I think it's interesting that all of these things that are very traditional with food is what's now becoming very trendy, and it's sort of, I almost find a little bit ironic. Would you agree, Fraser?
Yeah, I would agree. Actually, I think there's a trend going back to sort of just doing simple stuff well, keeping the seasonality correct, and just making sure that you look after the products and the ingredients that you're working with. You don't necessarily need to push the boundaries in sort of what you're producing and what you're cooking if you just take care and do your duress over what you're putting on a plate.
Do you have an area of speciality that you, or is there something in particular you like to cook?
I'm generally a fan of fish, I suppose, and I'm generally probably more of a fan of, I suppose, from where I'm from, Scottish cuisine, but maybe sounds a bit,
what is Scottish cuisine?
A bit oxymoronic,
deep-fried,
I suppose.
Deep-fried Mars bars and haggis.
Chips, Glasgow salad. No, I suppose it'd be a fan of, certainly seafood, quite fresh fish particularly. And they're usually, most of the food there, so if it's meat-based, is the secondary cuts, you know, briskets and sort of lamb and offal and stuff like that.
All
so
the good stuff.
Yeah, all the good stuff that you take some time to produce, but the flavours are pretty intense.
Well, it's funny because, again, we're using a lot of secondary and tertiary cuts rather than those prime cuts of fillets and all of that. And it's harder to buy a pork belly than it is to buy a pork fillet.
Yeah.
Because of our love of using all of those different cuts. Are you sitting there looking at me quizzically saying, hang on, what's he on about?
No, not at all. But the entire point of barbecue is a place to take care of secondary cuts because of how intense and smoky and long the cooking process is. Mm-hmm. But it's funny because there's article after article in Texas now. Well, in America, the price of brisket has tripled because of demand over there, because a few major national chain restaurants decide to add it to their menu. And that alone increases the demand to the point where it's starting to become a real problem for the people in Texas, which is hilarious because it all came about as a way, you know, as it would have been where you're from.
Yes, to use them.
In Scotland. Yeah, to use these secondary cuts that no one else had much use for.
Where did your obsession with barbecue come from? How did it start?
I just visited Austin on one of sort of a vacation and fell in love with it and went back and tried barbecue. And it's as organic as it comes. It's a pure matter of trying it, completely falling in love with it. I'd always loved, unfortunately, my mother always served steaks well done when I was little, which, you
know. Did yours have any juice in them?
No.
No.
But what they were charred on the outside. You know, like how a charred snag is really great in some ways. So, the whole point of barbecue is the bark that you get on it, which is what looks as though it's burnt, but it's not. It's just the crust on the outside appeals to someone like myself who always loved the charred bits. But then you get the meat that's not horridly over dry in the middle. It's actually cooked perfectly. So it was really just a natural love of what I was eating that then led to obviously eating more and trying different things and learning more about it. And here we are all these years later.
If you had have asked around the world 10 years ago which country is famous for its barbecue, you would have got Australia because we're known for putting crap on a grill, sausages, prawns, things on sticks. But we are nowhere near. The thing that surprised me most, a number of years ago, I spoke to somebody who was part of the Jack Daniel's Invitational, which is a barbecue competition in the United States, which is ridiculously high prize money, highly sought after as something to enter and win, which we have no knowledge of.
We're starting to get that here. The two big ones in the States are the Jack and the Royal, which is in Kansas City. So the Jack's at the Jack Daniel's Distillery, and the American Royal's in Kansas City. I actually went and judged at the Royal Invitational last year, which was an amazing honour to be able to, because you have to be invited to judge. We're starting to see a huge emergence here in people taking an interest at home, because you can actually make this stuff sort of on a charcoal barbecue. You don't necessarily need one of the huge, what we call an offset, which is when it burns fire to one side and the smoke comes through the main chamber. So there are lots of ways you can do it without necessarily, you know, selling an arm to pay for a new barbecue.
Because these things, I don't know if you've seen them, Fraser, some of them are as big as a house.
Yeah, they're massive. Yeah, yeah.
They're incredible.
You put your cuts of meat and sort of dry rub.
You can put your car in some of them, they're so large.
Probably. Well, someone did, Josh Ozersky, who's the writer for Esquire in the US.
He was the guy that I interviewed a number of years ago that first got me obsessed with barbecue.
Yeah, well, I was in New York with Josh a couple of months ago, and he does a thing called Meatopia. So that's his shtick. And he did one in London, and they did a whole ox over coals. But then someone else in California, and we posted this to the Australasian Barbecue Alliance, which is a great place for people to who are interested in this type of food to check
yeah,
out.
Me.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of a support group for people who are into
like
it.
Grilled meat.
But we came across this photo. I came across this photo that I reposted there. That's the most viral thing I've ever seen on any account I've ever had anything to do with, which was a lamb pig cow.
Oh my God, I so got into that. Maybe it was yours that I pinched, but I stole that from somebody and posted it, and my my Twitter, I think it was either Twitter or Facebook, went nuts.
We had about 8,000 shares. So it's a whole cow with an entire splayed pig inside with an entire splayed lamb inside, rolled up
in fencing
wire.
It's a serious, like, tadukan.
It's a red meat lover's tadukan. Yeah.
In fencing wire. How long would that take to cook?
Well, that's the problem. I feel, and you'd be, well, Fraser, you'd be able to tell me as a chef, like it would nearly be out of control to get all the way into the lamb. At least the lamb's supposed to be pink.
Yeah,
I
think it would take a while. So look, just, I've never done one, obviously, but like, just thinking about it, all the different meats have different tolerances as well. So by the time one's cooked, the other one's probably only just starting to sort of break down. You possibly end up with one slightly overcooked and the other one okay.
I'm thinking your beef's going to be overcooked and maybe your lamb's not going to be quite cooked. Because the one in the middle is going to cook just through radiant
probably
heat.
Dissipate inwards as well. So the centre will probably be quite moist and quite succulent.
I'm going to have to go out and wipe my mouth for a minute. So some quick messages, and then we might have a track, and then we'll come back and talk more about meat.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thank you, Gabriel. Merci, Gabriel. That was Bruno Mars and Mark Ronson, of course, with Uptown Funk, a track that you cannot listen to without at least tapping your toes. It's a very funky piece of music, and I like it. Decided to play it. Jess, you couldn't sit still.
I couldn't. I was head bopping.
She was head bopping. That is, of course. Her name is Jess Pryle. She's Burger Mary and doing the Carnivores Ball in April, April 10th and 11th. We're going to come and talk about it right in a second. Fraser Stark is also here. He's from the Duke of Wellington. Do you like that piece of music?
Yeah, pretty catchy.
You were bopping as well.
Choice.
Do you play music in the kitchen?
Yeah, obviously when you're getting thumped on a Friday night or Friday afternoon, the music goes off and you're obviously focusing on what's the job at hand. I suppose I listen to a variety of things, you know. I suppose it depends whose music's on, really. I suppose I'd probably listen to house music, which goes down with a mixed reception. I think today we were listening to the Rolling Stones and my man in the breakfast shift, who is usually the one first in, so his music's on first, listens to all kinds of sort of sad and weepy 90s indie, which doesn't quite get you through the morning in the mindset.
Not with all those sharp knives, I don't
know. No, not at all, no.
Dangerous place to be. Jess, Carnivores Ball. So how many years have you now done this?
This is the third one now, one in Melbourne, yeah.
And so you've done two in
Texas, and actually took it to Sydney as well last year, so it's quite international.
Now, it's over two nights as well, because clearly one night is not enough.
You're correct. Melbourne's always been two nights. It's the hometown. It's the big homecoming one. So, it's April 10th and 11th this year.
Talk us through what does it look like? What's it about? I've got the menu here, but how does it all work? Am I dressing up in my boots, scooting boots and...
I like to think it's all things to all people. So it started, the reason I came up with in the first place was just to sort of invite people to the type of party I'd like to attend in Texas, a Texan-style barbecue party.
Yep.
And over the years, it's sort of it's morphed to be more about a celebration of all things meat. I make sure that there's at least one course. So every course is done by a different chef, and every course has to have meat in it.
Mm.
And the general menu will always have either Southern or Americana feel, and at least one of the courses will always involve barbecue or smoking. And, yeah, we're having a country band this year. I had a blues band last year, and people were like, bring the country band back. Let's do some line dancing.
Yeah.
And it sounds a bit twee, but it's so fun. So the room is decked out like country chic. They've got some amazing centerpieces planned this year and amazing gifts for my guests to take home as well. And it's the type of thing, because it is linen tablecloths, if you want to wear a gown, go for it. If you want to wear a tux, go for it. If you want to wear overalls made out of denim, that's fine too.
And if you're going to come dressed as Daisy Duke?
Also doable. Someone in Austin came dressed in a cow costume. It was amazing.
A cow costume?
Yeah.
Like dressed as a cow?
Well, he walked in his suit and he'd come down from Dallas for it. And I was like, oh my gosh, well, great to see you. Thank you so much. And then he disappeared into the bathroom and walked out in like a onesie with the hoodie that was a cow over his suit. I'm like, you're pretty much the best.
That is so funny. So yeah. If we were to read the menu, so Peter Boucher from The Butchers of Distinction.
Correct.
House-made charcuterie. So bacon.
Bacon jam
bacon
from
jam.
Otway Pork.
Oh,
yeah.
From Otway Pork. Is that Steve Earle?
No? I don't know. I'm sorry.
Duck and mango terrine, cracked pepper pate, and hickory smoked pressed tongue.
Yeah, so Peter Boucher, they're our major sponsor this year, and they have this beautiful range of things that they do in-house. Their bacon is actually my favourite in Australia. They do a smoked streaky bacon that's unbelievable, especially for American-style recipes. It just it renders out beautifully. So, yeah, we wanted to showcase the stuff that they do and you know, make it. You can't really get much more meaty than a charcuterie sort of terrine pate.
No, you can't. And then George Tomlin, who is from the Town Mouse and from memory, the winner of last year's Appetite for Excellence
Young Chef of the Year. Yes, very talented man.
So he's cooking Flinders Island saltgrass lamb, which we've also interviewed
James.
Jamesy. Yes, on here. Pressed lamb rib, bourbon, brined lamb, belly bacon.
Yes.
Cornbread, watermelon and radishes. I'm going to go just for that dish.
I'm pretty excited about that. He's been having a play in the kitchen. James has been sending him some samples and he's ended up coming up with that, which just sounds incredible. But obviously the big draw card has to be
Evan Leroy.
Mr. Evan Leroy.
So tell us about Evan Leroy. So he's a Texan pitmaster.
Mm-hmm. So he's a trained chef and he ended up moving to New York and working at Hill Country Barbecue, which is their sort of Texas-style stuff place there, and moved back to Austin and started Friedman's. And the meat is completely traditional. He's just completely nailed traditional Texas-style barbecue, but all of his sides, it's a full meal experience. So he'll be very interested in seasonal produce as well. Mm-hmm. He'll do like a smoked beet dish with creme fraiche and dill, and it's all house-made bread. And he does these amazing desserts. He does a smoked salted chocolate mousse. Ooh. So they don't have an oven in the restaurant. He's only got the smoker. So everything that he creates has to use this one piece of machinery, and he is, you know, obviously extremely talented.
It's one hell of a challenge. Could you manage that?
I'd probably have to play around with the equipment and see what we could do.
What would be the one piece of equipment that you couldn't dispense with in your kitchen?
I'll say right now, because of the volume we do, the two rationales that we have in the kitchen, they're pretty important. You bang a lot of food in those and cook them to all kinds of temperature. We do all our overnight roasting in our rationales, and they're pretty important.
I don't think a kitchen should do without a deep fryer.
Well, we have a couple of those as well, certainly.
I think you can do everything in a deep fryer except for probably a roast, which you should be doing out in a roaster out the back.
Speak
anyway.
To a Scotsman. Yes. Internationally renowned for deep frying. Yes, anything we can get our hands on. Can't argue with that logic, no.
Better than deep fried. Yeah. How do you form these relationships with these people? Obviously, you're heading to all of these barbecue events and mm-hmm. all of that. I'm going to ask you a very vulgar question. How do you make a buck?
So I make a buck through these events that I put on.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, I suppose for lack of a better answer, I'm a sort of personality. So at the moment I have a relationship with Buffalo Trace Bourbon and Tito's Vodka because that's of interest to the people that are interested in the meat things that I talk about as well.
Yep.
And
so they're like ambassadorships that you get paid to do?
Yeah. I mean, I only work with brands that I'm happy to work with, mm-hmm. which is obviously part of why people still want to hear what I have to say. But I work with different brands and you know, have this lifestyle that is actually my life that I've created that people find interesting, and try to bring it to them in various areas. So whether that's the events that I put on, or whether that's appearances that I'm making here or in the States, or whether that's endorsing certain products.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you ever want to go back and just do something that's a little less frantic?
Nope.
No?
No. I mean, the thing is, this is not contrived. It's my, you know...
Yeah, it's your life.
It's my life, mm. and I adore it. I get to work with what I love. I get to meet amazing people. I get to taste amazing food all under the guise of work. And
can't complain about that.
Beyond that, the message is spreading that to other people and seeing the joy that, you know, like, Fraser, you know, when you serve someone up in a meal and they just go, oh, that was amazing, and you sort of get that great feeling about it.
Yeah, it makes the otherwise rubbish deal worthwhile, really. Yeah.
Fraser, if you weren't cooking, would there be something else you would be doing? Was there a fallback or a second thing for you?
I originally started off going to university. I did economics, politics and history, and then I wasn't really hugely interested in that. So I sort of floated around in and out of hospitality for a good couple of years after that, and then I sort of took a process into joining the Royal Navy, and the partner at the time, she wasn't too mad about that notion, and then sort of migrated over here and went back into chefing. And so in and out of a few things, really, but right. Chefing's kind of been one of these continual themes that's been the sort of fallback job for quite some time, you know.
Economics, politics and history.
Yeah, quite glad I dodged the bullet with that one.
I was going to say, what would you do with those three? Political and economic history of Scotland.
Being economically, politically motivated historian, I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, that would be very interesting. Some a quick message. We'll continue this discussion in momentarily.
Your community is our business. Joy 94.9.
17 minutes, 16 minutes to 2 here on Joy 94.9. It's about to nudge 35 degrees outside. We are heading for top of 36, so it's quite warm out there. What are you going to do? Have you got to walk back to the kitchen in jeans and a jumper?
Yeah, jeans and a jumper. Well, it was pretty cool this morning when I got out of the house, so it's like, it's jeans and a jumper weather. And obviously when I left the kitchen...
What time did you leave the house?
I must have left about 8:30, maybe before then, 8 o'clock. It was in at 9.
I drove in at 7:45 and it was already 20 degrees.
Yes. Is that acclimatisation we're talking about?
Now you get cold.
Just going to pay my scarf.
Yeah, no need for scarf. How many hours do you do? If you're in there at 8 o'clock this morning, what time do you finish tonight?
Depends. I've got white nights tonight, so it's a bit of an exception.
Yeah, I guess it's...
I'll probably be in and out of the kitchen just checking things are going all right. I'll probably sit through dinner service, so I'll be back in whites by about 5 o'clock, and I'll probably hang around until the kitchen closes at 11. Float around for maybe 11 till 1 and see how we go from 1 onwards. But I'd say
the kitchen open all night tonight?
Kitchen's open all night, yep. So, yeah, you should...
Smart move tonight.
Yeah.
Well, you'd hope so.
Millions of people in the city. Someone's going to want a bowl of fries at 3:15.
I was going to say, it's all about the fried food.
Yeah, totally.
Well, all sorts of going in.
Are you doing anything in particular, like anything special for White Night?
We've just taken our normal cart menu and reduced it down. So we've taken the things that we know we sell and we know people enjoy. There's a couple of sharing foods. There's obviously the parma. You can't escape the parma.
No, you can't.
We've got a porterhouse steak on tonight as well.
Did parma strips that you could share? You know, like, imagine if you turned strips.
So like a little, almost like a goujon of fish, but I do a small piece of crumb chicken sauce, so that they're almost like they're bite-sized, yeah?
Yeah, and then patent pending.
Yeah, there you go. You own that. You could do that with, you could do beef.
I could. Parma's the thing that we need to start exporting more over to the States, but... Yeah.
We are known for it, and given it was originally done as a vegetarian, like a vegetable dish with eggplant.
No, you lost that one too,
yes,
didn't you?
Whoops! There's going to be people, vegetarians, squirming somewhere because I've been so disrespectful. Wayne of Keysborough, he sends a message. He's just joined as a member. Congratulations, Wayne. Welcome to the family. I thought we had a message there, but no, we don't. If you would like to send the message, if you have a question about a fondue party for the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival or anything to do with the Duke of Wellington or their new venue upstairs, the Duchess, which is a very lovely cocktail bar.
Yeah.
Restaurant. Yes, cocktail bar and restaurant up on the very top of the Duke, right in the middle of the city. Or if you have a question about barbecue, Texan pit cooking, anything meat related, 0427 Joy 949. So you might have a lump of meat in your fridge that you're wondering what on earth you're going to do with. 0427 Joy 949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au. You can send a tweet to cravings_joy949, or if you must, you can pick up the phone and ring us 1-300-JOY949. There's someone around to answer, and put your question to us. Jess, if you weren't doing, what were you doing before this obsession took over?
Cupcakes.
Cupcakes.
Yes, I had my own cupcake business.
Right.
I've had a really weird and varied career. I have a degree in communications that I've never really used. And
well,
I've worked
you are
in
using
hi-fi.
It all of the time.
Yes, well, but that's just natural talent, isn't it?
No, I'm not saying about communicating, but because you are, you're...
I've never used it in a formal sense.
You're a storyteller.
I suppose. I've never entered the formal world of marketing and communications as a... As
you're
a,
not missing a lot.
Yeah, it's fine.
I work in that industry.
Yes. Mm. Well, so I've done... I've worked in hi-fi, like high-end home theatre installations, and I was a heavy metal VJ for a little while in my early 20s, and I've done really random things. So I was doing cupcakes before this, but... And that's the thing. I've always seemed to do quite well, you know, thankfully, just getting very passionate about something, sharing that passion with other people.
What's next? Do you think your passion for barbecue is going to die? Do you think there is another... step on the journey of Jess?
It's already started to morph a little bit. I don't think my passion for barbecue would ever die. I mean, having eaten it now for 6 years, I'm still pretty into it. But the natural progression for me has been discovering more about meat in general. So I've been going out to, you know, having relationships with farmers here, visiting an abattoir, understanding how that works. I actually intend to go hunting this year just because...
Controversial.
Look, there's a reason for it. So first of all, I don't think it's responsible of me to be a hardcore carnivore label without at least being able to do it at least once. And then nearly all of my, most of my male friends in Texas hunt, and all of them who hunt know how to completely clean and use the entire deer themselves. And it's...
Are they hunting responsibly?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that you have to have a license, and it's all, you know, there's a Parks and Wildlife and Fisheries Department or what have you. But as I said, nearly everyone is doing it. I mean, they have to cull some deer just like we cull our kangaroos, but they'll use that meat ultimately. So yes, it's extremely controversial, but again, the difference is we're not talking about drunk farm boys going off into the woods and shooting pigs for the sake of it. We're talking about people who enjoy the hunting process and then take great pride in, you know, some of them make small goods out of the venison that they have in the end. And I just find that incredibly fascinating and think it's important to participate.
So that is taking the nose-to-tail philosophy that people like Fergus Henderson and others talk about and encourage and espouse and bring it into a slightly more rustic version. I don't know, because it's nose to tail. They're using...
Yeah, they use the whole thing. I mean, and the hide will end up on the floor and the head will end up on the wall and they'll do, you know, the bones will end up for the dogs or in stock. Or I have a friend who makes pho out of his venison tenderloin and...
Makes what?
Pho.
Vietnamese soup.
Thank you. Thanks, Pete.
Yep.
So every part of it gets used. I think it's admirable, and it's a more important lesson than someone who is happy to eat meat but won't pick it up because it feels gross to cook it as long as someone else cooks it, kind of thing.
I know people have these foibles that they won't eat meat where it's still got bone attached or, you know, that sort of stuff. I think that's all a bit odd and bizarre.
I mean, each to their own. Look, I certainly, you know, I respect vegetarians making that choice. I respect vegans making that choice. I think a lot of people just feel like they need to tell everyone about it, which is sort of the thing. But certainly, as I said, for myself, you know, it's a live and let live thing. But for myself, if I'm going to promote it so heavily, I want it to walk the walk.
Holistically. Adrian Richardson, who is a great advocate for meat from La Luna in... Mm-hmm. Carlton?
Yes.
We spent 6 or 7 years as a vegetarian. And he's
really?
One of, yeah. He does Good Chef, Bad Chef on television. He's one of our better known chefs. He was a vegetarian.
I had no idea. Mm. And now he's a big, big
He's an advocate for meat. He's written a book called Meat. It's a great book, by the way. And I'm quite looking forward to while we're talking about Melbourne Food and Wine on, and it's sold out, so you can't go, so I can talk about it on the 15th of March doing I think every Sunday for about 3 weeks he's doing a suckling pig lunch.
Ooh.
And so I'm going to take part in that suckling pig lunch.
I'm jealous.
Don't be, because you're
jealous?
Doing...
I mean, suckling pig,
yeah,
come on.
Pretty jealous. We used to do something like that at the Duke, didn't they? Used to be a spit roast on the Duke and used to be able to do it on the balcony there.
Or maybe you'll be the reviser of that.
Yeah, got to feed the spit roast. No idea.
Here's a question that either of you could answer. Probably I'll start with you, Jess.
Yes.
A question from Michelle. Thank you, Michelle. Love learning about barbecue, but what is the biggest misconception about it?
For me personally, obviously, I think your listeners are probably au fait enough to understand that when we say barbecue, we're talking about not gas grilling. We're talking about wood burning,
not
smoking.
Yeah, that's going on the
So that's the immediate misconception. And then more than that now, I think that brisket is a buzzword. Mm. There's a reason why it became sort
like
of a religion.
Like quinoa was a buzzword.
Yeah, I mean, that when it's done really well, it's amazing. And when it's done not so well, it's really average. And unfortunately, you see a lot of places, both here and overseas, that, you know, get in a brisket, it might be over-trimmed or unsuitable or whatever it is. They're cooking it up, it's not very good, but they get to use the word brisket on their menu. And that's the part that upsets me, because that's not serving the food as it's become famous. That's just doing it for the sake of it. I guess it's like a bowl of soggy chips. Like when crisp chips are crisp.
Yes.
It's a delicious experience.
I'm glad you said all of that, because I couldn't have got my tongue around that sentence.
But when you get a bowl of, you know, undercooked fries, it's...
Or that aren't hot enough, or they're not enough salt. For God's sake, people, put some salt on your food.
And how big is the difference between the enjoyability?
Fraser, I want to get back to that question. Do you think there are misconceptions about barbecue that we might have that perhaps Jess doesn't?
I suppose the one conception I get the impression of sort of being misinterpreted or misconceived is that it's unhealthy. Like it's not obviously superfoods by any means, but it's I wouldn't, in my view, consider it unhealthier than anything else that you're sort of long braising or grilling over a long time, you know.
Correct. I imagine there's also if it's a fatty cut of meat by its nature, yep, that slow cooking or barbecuing, smoking will actually rend out a lot of that fat, which will make it
cooking process, yeah,
make it moist and tasty.
Yeah, look, I mean, full disclosure, the smoking is still smoking, and there is a carcinogenic element.
Yeah, but you're not chugging on the end of a Winfield Blue. But this is actually smoking food in the way that
It's not at all going to affect you eating it at a reasonable rate. But yeah, like you said, and the thing is, I've just made at home. I use grass-fed beef tallow to make moisturizer, body butter, because it's meant to be one of the best things you can put on your skin. Because of all the vitamins in it, blah, blah, blah. And same thing, if you're using grass-fed...
I'll be walking around going, licking
no,
myself
I'm serious.
All day.
It's amazing for you, because your skin absorbs like half of what you put on it, so it may as well be natural. But as what you're saying, that if you're especially cooking with, you know, for example, grass-fed and non-HDP meat, that the fat is good for you in moderation, like with everything. So
you could have much worse with fat content from different food products in your diet, you know, hydrogenated or saturated fats. But I think... especially if you look at French cuisine, there's a lot of fat in that, but it's a lot of unprocessed fat. And although you don't see many fat French people kicking around in Melbourne, certainly.
Yes. A question I'm going to start with you, Fraser. Mm-hmm. A question from another of our listeners. Thank you, Tim. I love crispy bacon. Well, bless you, sir. Especially smoked. How do I achieve that snappily crisp bacon from supermarket streaky bacon? Do you have a way to do that?
From my experience, I would layer it between two pieces of greaseproof paper and do it in the oven.
There you go. Jess?
I also cook in the oven. It's the trick which he's got already is to pick the streaky, because you'll never get crispy bacon out of an iPhone.
Out of a shortcut. The other thing I saw recently, a little video doing the rounds of YouTube, was cooking it in a little bit of water and using water to cook it. And as the water dries out, I don't know how that works.
Well, that's how you render fat.
Mm.
But... you know,
I just don't understand how that can make bacon nice.
Nah, let's just stick with oven or
between greaseproof paper
water and
in the oven.
The rest of the time, so I'd stay away from the water, but certainly the greaseproof paper in the oven, I think.
Yes, so don't do it in a pan, and don't expect to have crispy bacon when you're using the
Australian style bacon or the eye. You need to specify
middle bacon or streaky
bacon. Mm. Yep. Yeah,
which we would call middle bacon.
Middle still sort of a side off the rib.
Right.
It's what you want is streaky is belly.
The belly.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And that's really what
it's
you
the
want.
Same, I believe it's the same cut they make pancetta of.
All right, we're going to come back very shortly and wrap this show up.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
You are on Cravings here on Joy 94.9. It's 3 minutes to 2 o'clock. We're seconds away from hitting 35 degrees, going for a top of 36. And coming up very shortly, you will be joining the team for Summer of Joy. Katie Purvis and Emily, I think, presenting Summer of Joy for you today. Before we get there, Fraser Stark has been one of my guests and Jess Pryles the other. A question that I ask every chef that comes into the studio, and you're honorary chef today, so you're getting asked this question as well, is about your secret shame. At the end of the day, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, you get home, you're a little tired, you're a little done with having to cook food. What is that naughty thing that you have that is your secret shame?
Oh, that depends on how much time I've spent in the pub, really. And then it's,
well, let's imagine you've had a couple of post-work drinks. Just a couple.
Let's see. Anything. Oh, my God. I don't know. Where do we start? I actually went for a souvlaki on Chapel Street a couple of nights ago, and that was actually not too shabby, actually. That was all right.
Compared to a frequent answer to that question.
It was quite good, actually. It was on a wood-fired.
That sounds too fancy. That's not a secret shame thing.
No, it's not really, is it? No, I suppose it's actually... I could probably make that out to be semi respectable.
Marco Pierre White said McDonald's.
I have been known to dabble in McDonald's. I have been known to dabble halfway through my McDonald's and fall asleep as well.
That's pretty shameful.
Yes, very shameful. Grilled cheese on toast, baked beans from a can, and those instant ramen things. They're the most frequent answers.
Instant what?
Ramen, so like Asian
noodles.
Just stay away from those.
You may as well lick wallpaper. Jess?
One is the unhealthy amount of biltong that I eat at home as a snack, which is the South African jerky.
Yes, yes, yes.
And the other for me really is that I probably at least two nights a week will eat like fish and steamed vegetables. Which is incredibly shameful.
Totally your shame.
To admit, but that's what it takes. That's why I get asked all the time why I'm not enormous, and there's your answer.
Ah, that's very funny. That's very funny indeed. And that you're ashamed about eating fish and steamed vegetables. Yeah. That's very funny.
Yeah.
Next week we are welcoming some another couple of international chefs who are here as part of the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival will be joining me in the studio. And they're coming from all over the world as part of the festival. Continuing on Saturday the 7th, so in 2 weeks' time, Cravings is having a day off. We'll be bringing you a very intriguing couple of days from that we're sharing out with SBS, which you all know about, of course, but we'll be coming to you for 48 hours, just a great big Mardi Gras special. So that's in 2 weeks' time, and then we'll be back on the 14th with another action-packed program. So it's all Melbourne Food and Wine for the next little while, and... I'm looking forward to joining you then. So I'm done. Summer of Joy coming up with Emily and Katie very, very shortly. Do have a very pleasant afternoon. Enjoy whatever you're doing in Melbourne tonight because it's going to be very busy. Good afternoon.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.